Next on BYUSN, after a 5-0 start, how do the Cougars avoid historical October strife? And what's sustainable about BYU's play for the rest of the year? John Beck joins the program to recap Jake Retzlaff's play and the difficulties of handling success.
Plus, BYU defensive back Mark Collins previews the Arizona matchup and gives a shocking answer into where BYU can improve the most right now. You won't see it coming, I can tell you that. And Top 5 Tuesday features the best 5-0 starts in BYU history. And you know what? We had to whittle that list down to just five. Where does this season land on the list?
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Tuesday, October 8th. I am Jeremy Gordon alongside Hawaii tour guide Dave McKinnon.
You know, anytime you can start the show with news about Hawaii that's good news, and they've had their struggles over there, you do it. And BYU got some good news yesterday. John Rothstein reporting the Cougars are going to Maui in 2026. I think that means we're all going to Maui, doesn't it?
We can only hope.
Aren't we part of that? But anyway, it's an interesting field. Here's the field for 2026. Arizona, Maryland, Notre Dame, Providence, Ole Miss, VCU. They're going to announce the eighth team later. But BYU plays Arizona, Providence, and Ole Miss this season.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're going to get a chance to mix it up with them again and maybe see Arizona three times in 2026, maybe four times in the Big 12 tournament.
That would be wild.
Yeah.
So that is possible.
Cougars going to Maui, and of course they have a strong following in the islands. They always have. But that is a destination place. And now, as if Kevin Young didn't need anything else to recruit with, now he's got Maui in his back pocket.
Certain high-profile recruits, maybe from the state of Hawaii, that could be enticed to have a free trip back home, which could be fun. So
I think that might come up.
Let's go.
That's awesome.
All rise and shout on this 5-0 Tuesday. It's time for What's Trending.
BYU is so far ahead of the curve. BYU's never had a secondary as deep as they do now.
Went really well, so why mess it up? Let's just keep working on it.
BYU has been one of, if not the stories of the season here.
Cougar football ranked number 14 in the AP poll, off to a 5-0 start for just the eighth time in school history, but the third time in the last 5 years, by the way. BYU has hopes of a special season, but in order for that to happen, they're going to have the hunt for Blue October. Here is BYU tries to have a successful 3-0 October. That'd be amazing. Let's talk about these October games and then discuss what would qualify as a successful October, Dave. Right. So in October, since 2021, BYU 4-8. What? 4-8. 25 points a game, 33 allowed, plus 2 in turnover margin. So the number's not great. You look at all the other months since 21 besides October, 24-7, 31 a game, 24 allowed, plus 16 in turnover margin. October has been a struggle for the Cougars. They sit at 5-0. They've only got 3 games this month. What would qualify as a successful October?
I look back to last October to kind of get a gauge, and they played 3 games last October. 2 were on the road. 1 was at Texas. 1 was at TCU, and TCU was hot that week. And then the other was Texas Tech here at home, and BYU went 1-2. This year, BYU has 3 October games. 2 are at home. Saturday, and then next week against Oklahoma State, and then 1 over at UCF. Texas is not in the mix of these 3 here in October.
Sorry, Sark.
Yeah, but I think that's a big difference for this year, making it different.
Mm-hmm.
One, because BYU is really good at home. Everyone is. Everyone's more comfortable at home. And that's one way to shake the October demise and look for an October surprise of 3-0. It's right there for the taking. But I like BYU's defense, and I think that gives them a chance. This defense is better than it was last October, and then I think in the previous Octobers as well when they've struggled. The defense is the strength of this team, and that keeps you in it. And with 2 games at home, big plays, special plays, we've seen it happen all season. That's where they seem to happen the most.
So what record is successful to you?
2-1 is successful.
Amen.
3-0 is we're living
Amazing.
The dream.
Yes.
But 2-0, you win your 2 home games.
Yeah.
And then you take your shot at UCF, who's been very vulnerable the last couple of weeks.
Yep.
A month ago, I thought, that's a tough one. And it is going to be a tough one. But it's not, you know, an impossible one. But if you're 2-1 rolling into the Utah game on November 9th, and that makes you, what, 7-1?
7-1 overall.
You're still in the top 25.
You're in the top 15, dude.
You're still in the mix for the Big 12 championship. That's a happy October.
You're in the mix for the playoff. You're in the mix for everything. I agree with you. I think 2-1 would be a very successful October. If you got the blue goggles on, you want 3-0, you want 8-0 going to Salt Lake, a bye week, and then into Salt Lake. Let's go! I'm all for it. Like, dream the dream right now. Dream big. as Ryan Shoup and the Rubber Band sang about. Let's go. I think 2-1 is good, as you mentioned. Take care of home games. I think BYU is really tough at home right now. Day game Saturday against Arizona, all the hype, all the excitement. Can BYU handle success? They've been the underdog. They've overcome the Vegas 4.5 projection.
Right? Hey, they won a day game.
They won a day game. They won one in the last 11, right? They snapped that 10-game win streak, but they won the last one. Can you somehow figure it out in Florida, too? Remember, BYU's won the last two games in Florida after losing the first eight, including bowl games, including tough games against Miami and Florida States of the world. You've beaten UCF in the Boca Raton Bowl. You've beaten USF in 22 to start that year, or 21, was it? Now you're at home against Arizona, who has shown that they can win at Utah, but they can also get blown out by Kansas State and lose at home to Texas Tech in a close one. Where you know, a completed pass maybe in the red zone would have helped them. They kicked a bunch of field goals. I'm ecstatic at the idea of 7-1. Should BYU be able to do that? But you have to not stumble like BYU has in October, as we chronicled. Arizona is definitely winnable, but it's also losable. Like, sure. BYU is not so good that they can just kind of play meh and win. This is the Big 12. You've got to continue to get takeaways. You've got to continue to execute offensively. In spite of the run game being good enough and some you've required depth there, can Jake Retzlaff take care of the ball, all these things. But can BYU handle success? I hope yes, because right now it's going great.
There's only 12 undefeated teams left, right? And BYU is one of them. I think what helps BYU out is they're 5-0 without Hail Marys, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're in the top portion of the conference in defense, scoring defense, in red zone offense. They're among the best in the conference in fewest penalties per game.
That's awesome.
They're getting things and they're not giving things.
Yeah.
And that's what's allowed them to be in games. It allowed them to have a big lead at Baylor and then be able to hang on to it. It allowed them to build a huge lead against Kansas State and run away with it. And then it allowed them to win a field goal exchange game on the road at SMU.
Looks great, by the way.
And they do look
4
great.
4-1, number 25 now.
Apparently they are great. You know, apparently they were good. But I agree with you. This is a time for BYU fans to just be present and live in it and enjoy Saturday as an undefeated team. You don't know what Sunday is going to bring, right? But you know going into Saturday you're undefeated and you're the talk of college football. I mean, even today in the projections of college football playoff where the Big 12 champ automatically goes in, you see BYU on those lists.
It's fun to be 5-0 and in the conversation.
Sure.
I'd rather be 10 or 11-0 and in the conversation, but I'm not going to deny the awesomeness.
No.
Let's enjoy this ride as long as it lasts. Who knows? Maybe it lasts deep into November. Maybe it lasts a couple weeks. I don't know. We all hope it goes into January.
Hey, in 84, they didn't just enjoy being 5-0 when they were 13-0, right? It's just, it's every week. That's what's so great about this game. It's the agony of defeat, the thrill of victory every single Saturday or Friday night. And so the drums will be beating on Saturday. It's going to be awesome.
Good worldwide
the vibe
of sports
is good.
Pull there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's so good. That opens.
So let's take your theme and we'll expand on it a little bit on what's sustainable and what isn't. A lot of things have happened to get to 5-0. Mm-hmm. Can they keep it going in that direction as they move forward? So we have a sustainability meter, which is 10 that it'll continue to happen for sure, and then 1 that it's over. Absolutely not. Okay, you ready?
Yep.
So let's start with the quarterback play. Jake has accounted for 70% of BYU's total offense this season. He is the leading rusher on the team. How sustainable is this?
I think overall I'm going to give it a 7. I think it's pretty sustainable. That I'm not saying he'll be the leading rusher at the end of the year. I wouldn't mind that. I don't really care as long as he can, 1, stay healthy, and 2, be effective. And his rushing is in spots. They're not running him 15 times a game.
Nor should they.
Right? At Baylor, it was very deliberate and thought through and effective, which was great. Glad they changed that play to a touchdown, by the way, and not a run for Chase Roberts at Baylor. Jake has shown that he can be very effective in the run game. I think that as long as he takes care of the ball, that BYU is going to continue to be a very good to great team. So I give it a 7 as long as he continues to make good decisions and take care of the ball and find them playmakers.
I agree with you. BYU put out a stat this week that we want to show you that I think will give you a new appreciation for where Retzlaff is. Because I don't know if if everyone's thrown their arms around him. And maybe they won't. Yeah. It just might be one of those things. But 19 touchdowns in his 9 starts going back to last season.
Yep.
That's more than Jaren Hall, Zach Wilson, Tanner Mangum, Riley Nelson, John Beck, and Steve Sarkisian in their first 9 games. Now, Jake has 13 turnovers over those 9 starts. That's less than Sarkisian, Beck, and Max Hall.
We got to have a chat with John in our next segment about these.
7 of Retzlaff's 9 starts are against P4s.
Yep.
That's the most in program history for anybody in their first 9
starts.
No
one's had to do this.
No. So as I was looking at that number last night, I thought, you know what? Maybe we're missing something. maybe as a whole, we're missing something because the defense goes out and does its thing, and everyone's like, special teams are scoring touchdowns or kicking field goals.
Big
and then when a quarterback play comes out, everyone's like, okay, let's just mess it up.
Yeah.
But maybe we shift that a little bit, and it's a great opportunity for him to show that again on Saturday, that, hey, he's running the team. This is the team that can win games, and he doesn't need to throw 400 yards to do it.
No, doesn't even need 300 per se. It needs to be an effective 260, right? And I just went there, too, with, take care of the ball. Why is it that Cougar Nation has not maybe put their arms around him in the same way, given those statistics? Is it the volatility? But there could be a couple interceptions at any moment. Is it scar tissue from last year, Dave?
Possibly.
Because he hasn't shown this year that that's going to be a massive issue. The defense really helped out with 3 takeaways against SMU and didn't give up points off those right in the red zone, maybe 3 points or something. But that was wild. Is it because of the volatility? Ty Detmer had a lot of interceptions,
sure,
too.
Sure.
He had a lot of touchdowns with it as well.
One thing Steve Young pointed out here recently was when Jay goes out and makes a mistake, he doesn't go back out and make another one.
Mm.
And that's different from last year when he was out of his mind in those last 4 starts against 4
crazy
bowl teams.
Good teams.
And I thought that was interesting, too. You can go out and make mistakes.
Sure.
But if you go out and then you fix it and move down the field and score, that's playing football.
Mm-hmm.
That's a quarterback.
Yep.
If you go out and you make it again and again and again, that's chronic and that's a problem. BYU doesn't have that problem with him.
Yeah. My concern is, will there be a game where BYU gives it away twice, doesn't take it away, and the run game's not working?
Yeah.
And you have to be explosive. Can you come back and win that game? That's a tough situation for any team.
Right.
So hopefully BYU doesn't get in that. The defense has played well enough to avoid that so far. Okay, next one. BYU still yet to have a running back reach 100 yards on the season in a game, but 5 different running backs have run for at least 75. Okay, we're talking total on the season. Yesterday, Klein Satake spoke about the depth BYU has at running back right now.
Now we've with a lot of guys that have had experience, it's just a matter of us getting the guys in the right time and making sure that they know what they're doing and then making sure that everybody's tuned up for this game. So, yeah, it's a problem, but a different problem now. Now that we have 5 guys, I think, that have played in games this year.
Okay, how sustainable is it for BYU to continue to be 5 deep in the running back room?
Well, the case study is they're 5-0, having played all of them. So can they continue to do it? I think if they go on a game-by-game basis, why not? So I would say 7. They don't have a game where they just said, man, that running back ran for 250 yards. That's our new offense. That isn't the offense. The offense is to run enough. They want to get 4 yards a carry. And I don't know after last week if they were at 4, but for the most part,
they were. 4.0 for the season.
For the season.
Exactly.
So there was 3.5 last year. They wanted to get to 4. However they get to it, that's their business,
yes.
Right? But they're there, and if you get 4, what that means is Aaron Roderick has more options on 2nd down and 6 than 2nd down and 9 or 2nd down and 10. And then things get creative, and then they get fun, and then all of a sudden all the weapons start getting used. So are they doing enough? Yeah. Is it running back you? No. Is it going to be? I don't know. Does it have to be? Well, they're 5-0 without it. So can they just keep getting enough? Now that they're healthy, I think they can.
Let's see where BYU's at with who is in. Because the secret weapon is LJ Martin. He's back this week.
Yeah.
He's been injured since the middle of game 2. Is it amazing? Isn't it amazing that BYU's done this without him? They've relied on the defense. They've been explosive in the pass game. And they've been good enough in the run game with who's that at running back? People have got to know. Enoch Nawahine, Sione Moa,
yeah.
Hinkle Rapati has been a little banged up. He should be back as well. Miles Davis, Pokai Haunga. The only guy in that room that hasn't played is Jovessa DeMooney, the nephew of Jack DeMooney. #IamJackDeMooney. So I think it is sustainable. I'm going to go 8 because out of 10, because BYU's shown that so far it can be a deep room. And if a guy's injured or ineffective, you can go to somebody else. Sione Moa has been the big surprise, by the way. It's like, who is this guy?
He might be off a mission. He might be the best in the room.
Which is saying a lot. It would appear that LJ is like the main guy. He's going to get the most totes, I would think, this week. But you got some versatility. And can Aaron Roderick open up the playbook a little more when LJ's in there? Because he's a little more experienced.
Yeah.
We'll see.
All right, let's talk about some defense. The defense has been creating takeaways this season with 10 through 5 games.
How about that?
How sustainable is this?
I think it's a 7. I'm leaning on the more sustainable than not end. Sometimes turnovers are lucky, Dave. Like a quarterback has to throw it in a certain space, but you got to be in that space. Somebody has to fumble or you can punch it out. 10 takeaways, tied for 15th in the country. 7 picks, tied for 13th. How about the points off turnovers, by the way? BYU, 31 points, so 3.1 points per takeaway. You look at BYU's giveaways, have only turned into 3 points. That is almost more impressive than the takeaways themselves. The fact that when BYU gives it up on offense, that the defense says no. They have not allowed a touchdown off a giveaway, which have been multiple times in the red zone. So what BYU is doing in that space is absolutely not sustainable. That is too high a number. It is too awesome. But can BYU continue to, one, take it away, and two, prevent-ish touchdowns? I think they can in a great way. They've been unbelievable in this space.
In the big picture of the rest of the season, can they just be like this? And that seems like a tall order. But can they do it on Saturday? Absolutely they can. And then they march on to the next one. What's the difference between luck and unluck? Last year they were so unlucky, they couldn't get turnovers, and they kept coughing it up. And this year they've flipped it. Is it because of the second year in Jay Hill's defense? Every player on the team will say yes, because we are now, we know what we're doing. We're in position. Crew Wakely had a great comment. He said, it's no longer about, hey, am I over? Am I where I'm supposed to be? That's not the focus. It's, I know I'm where I'm supposed to be. Now I'm going to go make a play.
Yes.
And he said, that's the difference between this year and last year. And that makes perfect sense, especially when it comes to these turnovers. So I agree with you.
It keeps going.
Yeah.
And what is luck? When preparation meets opportunity? Jay Hill is preparing his guys to be in the right spots, which is awesome. Okay, BYU special teams have made big plays, notably punt return for a touchdown, kickoff return for a touchdown, fake punt, 54-yard field goal. How sustainable is BYU special team greatness?
Well, I'm going to go 7 because
– that's our number.
That seems to be – you know, 5 is teetering on, I don't know, but 7 it feels like – first of all, Will Farron's an outstanding kicker.
Yes,
and now once they get inside the 50 range, you feel like you got a legitimate shot at points.
Yeah, get to the 33.
And that's a relaxer for the offense. You know you can get points once you get over there. First punt return in 10 years, first kickoff return in 10 or 11 years. Can they keep doing that? Yep. I don't know if they can do enough, but now the defense is going, well, maybe they can. And so now the special teams trying to stop those guys has to worry about it. Whereas maybe they didn't. They haven't run turn a kickback since 2014. Just kick it to him. Now it's like, well, what if he gets his lane? And so you just create some more stress for the other team. You know, Kingston's getting better at catching the ball. He's good at running for his life.
He's had a few more muffs than he or anybody wants.
So. And Keelan Marion, bless his heart, still gets nailed at the 16-yard line a couple of times. But now that they've broken one, they're in play as potential game breakers. And that just creates more stress, and if you can cause that on special teams, man,
you're in business.
You know, absolutely.
It's three-tiered for BYU. It's defense, offense, special teams. Isaiah Banya has a podcast. I think he does it with Coup Connect, where he said that he's never been more interested in special teams than this year. That Kelly Papinga has like opened his eyes, this vision to what special teams can be. And they have been, I dare say, the best in the country. I don't know how to easily look this up. Maybe BYU Stats Man, Cougar Stats, you're on this. Who scored a kickoff return for a touchdown, punt return for a touchdown, had a fake punt of 20-plus, and made a 50-plus yard field goal? I dare say BYU is the only team in the country, or one of three or something. That has been an incredible piece of what BYU has done so far this year.
On the other page of special teams, the opponent hasn't taken a kickback. They haven't taken a punt back. They tried a fake and failed. Special teams on that side has been just as good.
Yeah, that's a great point.
As the one creating points.
Okay, our question of the day. What's the most sustainable thing about BYU football right now? At NotStanley4330 on X. Defense, They show up week in and week out. I think that's what BYU does best right now.
Yeah.
And I think we'd all agree on that. The BYU defense is carrying this team, but it's not like the offense is just dragging along. No, no, no. They are harping on and scoring when they get those takeaways, which is awesome. Continue to weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram.
The bye week was good for the defense. For the linebackers, Harrison Taggart, those guys that have been dinged up, Evan Johnson, they should be back at full force on Saturday. And those boys up front, have they not delivered?
They've been amazing. All seniors,
and
by the way.
And they've stayed healthy for the most part.
Yep.
Fantastic.
I love the Nelson bat, the Mangelson grab against Baylor. It's like those two have put in the time to deserve that moment.
Yeah.
It's been awesome.
And they're in the moment. We're going to continue the moment Saturday on game day. We hope you'll join us starting at 2 o'clock Eastern time. 2 hours of coverage leading up to BYU in Arizona. You can see us on BYU TV and ESPN+. Cougars and Wildcats, follow the show. What an atmosphere we'll have at Lavelle Edwards Stadium on Saturday.
We expect you to be there from 8 to 2 for pregame.
Let's go.
The
whole day.
The whole day. Coming up, he found his guy. John Beck joins the show. How sustainable is Jake Retzlaff's play, and how hard is it to handle success? This is BYU Sports Nation. We're live in Studio B for BYU Sports Nation on this Tuesday. Jerem Jordan alongside Dave McCann. 100th year of BYU football season, rather. Not year. Season.
Right.
It's actually the 102nd year.
Yeah.
So we're remembering the best wins, moments, games, plays on this date in Cougar football history.
So October 8th, 2005. Let's go back to the John Beck era. BYU's on the road at New Mexico. Remember when they had to go to Albuquerque and play?
I do.
Yeah, those days are over. John Beck starts the scoring, 11-yard toss to Daniel Coates, outstanding tight end. Second touchdown pass of the day, Joe Siminoff from 5 yards out. New Mexico's 3 rushing touchdowns in the first half, though, put the Lobos up 21-13 at halftime. Yeah, sometimes those Lobos are tough down there.
They trailed 24-13 entering the fourth. 9-yard touchdown from Curtis Brown cut the lead to 24-19. Then the game-winning 23-yard touchdown pass, John Beck to Matt Allen. Zip! With 1:40 to go, BYU wins 27-24 on the dive. Beck finished with 344 yards passing and 3 touchdowns as BYU took down New Mexico. We now welcome in the aforementioned John Beck of 3D QB, a trainer of many a BYU quarterback, many an NFL quarterback. John Beck's back on the program. John, do you remember that New Mexico game? That was awesome, man.
I do. That was a fun one. I remember being down. It felt meaningful, too, because it was Broncos' old team, right? And here is our first-year head coach going back to a place that he used to coach. It felt meaningful. And, you know, New Mexico back in those days, that was a tough defense. Rocky Long and the things that they would do defensively, it was so unique. And I just remember we put together a drive there at the end, and there was a few plays before that one to Matt Allen that got us down the field, a ball to Todd Watkins, a ball to Manasseh Tonga on a swing. And I think Manasseh was a freshman that year. We just put things together, got a much-needed win. It's a lot of fun seeing those clips. I haven't seen that in forever.
Some nice SD clips.
Yeah, I think you still have
them. Isn't that? That's how you know I'm old, is when the stuff is blurry. You're like, who is that again?
4x3?
Hey, we've seen it at the alumni game. You still have it. It's nice to see
you. Oh, my gosh.
Nice to see you slinging it. As you go back to the fun you had, and you had stretches where your team was really, really good and ranked high with all the attention in the world. And now this team's 5-0, having just as much fun with just as much hype. What is that like for a player to be in the middle of?
I mean, it's so exciting. It takes me back to when the team is rolling and you feel like things are rolling. The first thing is you feel like you're going to win every game you play in. And the next thing that you feel is no matter what's happening during the game, you feel like you can always have an answer. You know, there may be times that maybe there'll be a couple drives on offense where it doesn't go like you want. Or maybe the defense gives up a touchdown. But when you have those feelings of like, regardless of the situation, we can find a way to make a play. And we can find a way to win this football game because we have that confidence. And so that's a fun time to be a part of a program. You have all those ebbs and flows during a season, during a game, ups and downs in the program's kind of like years that you're there, and to be a part of something that feels like you have something special rolling is really cool.
Certainly the defense has been the highlight for BYU, but the offense has been explosive when it needs to be. The run game's been good enough. Special teams has actually been spectacular with kickoff and punt returns for touchdowns and 54-yard field goals and fake punts. What's the most sustainable element, in your opinion, of what's going on right now with BYU football?
Overall, I just think that the defense has done a really good job. key moments. And yes, there are times, like on both sides of the ball, we talk about the offense has had some lulls. And I know there's times the defense has had times where they've given up some drives or whatnot. But I just think, man, they have looked like the defense that we've kind of heard that Jay Hill was going to bring in, right? That he was going to want to establish. You know, you're looking at a bunch of clips here where there's just some key turnovers, some key plays on third down where they stop them short. I just think that they're showing a lot of signs of a good, solid defense. My best year at BYU was when we also had the best defense. That helps you offensively. Like when you want to put together a really special football season, you can't just rely on one side of the football to carry you. It has to be a team effort coming from both sides of the football. And in many of the areas that we progressed offensively from one year to the next, it was because of the situations that the defense provided us. And I think that the defense, I'm watching them do that this year for the offense. And the cool thing is the offense has done a great job of then capitalizing off those opportunities.
You go back to last summer when you're on this show selling Jake Retzlaff, and he'd been working with you as you've been training him up. And now 5 games in, he's 5-0. What has surprised you the most about him, if anything, and how can he keep going?
Well, I think Jake has done a really good job on some of his shot plays, attacking the defense and throwing some really accurate balls downfield. You know, Jake has a sneaky strong arm. Most people will probably look at some of the other throws kind of throughout the, you know, the board of the field and kind of go like, oh, he's got a pretty good arm. And then all of a sudden you just see these sneaky shots down the field where the ball really jumps out of his hand. And I know that he's still got things that as he reviews the tape and as he's watching areas he can improve, he's got areas that he knows he can still improve on. But I will say, like, I've been impressed with some of those shot plays down the field. You know, he's aggressive by nature, and that shows in some of the things that he's done. And he's thrown some really nice vertical balls, attacking the sidelines, some deep posts that I felt have also been very timely in games. You just can't be like a loose cannon chucking balls down the field. Like, it has to be timely, and I feel like he's done a good job of that.
He's BYU's leading rusher right now. Is that sustainable, or does someone else need to take that over? LJ Martin gets back healthy and is expected to play this Saturday.
I would just say, unless you're Lamar Jackson, you don't want that to be the thing that you rely on. Like, it was funny. A few years back, one of my teammates from the 2004 team, like, sent me this clip, like, hey, do you remember this? And we were playing Boise State. And I remember, like, they were running me with, like, I was running with the ball a lot. And the announcer was like, is this really what you want to be doing in trying to find rushing yards? Is rushing your quarterback this much? And we were just kind of laughing about it. You know what? I think it might have been Austin Colley because he was going back with his kids watching these
things.
Of
course, Austin would do that.
But here's the thing is, like, it's good that Jake is getting rushing yards. But I just don't want that to be the thing that is your mainstay that you are trying to establish, because that can put the quarterback in harm's way. You know, you do see those quarterbacks here or there that they're able to run the ball a little bit more, but it does take a toll. Like one of the guys I work with, Dak Prescott, he ran the ball all of the time in college, but the wear and tear that took on his body, it does accumulate over the course of a season. You don't want your quarterback to be just all battled up and bruised trying to hang in at the end of the year if you do have a special season going. I like what Jake has done so far. I think it's smart what they've done, utilizing him in the run game. It does put the defense in a bind. But to say that you want to continue that and to have him be the leading rusher the whole way, like, I don't think that's ever the plan. That's just the way that it's shaking out right now.
Team's averaging over 4 yards a carry, up from 3.5 last year. What is the difference for a quarterback, second and six as compared to second and nine? How does a quarterback feel, and how does an offensive coordinator react when you're just getting enough to make a difference on the ground?
It's huge, because second and 10 feels like you can't make a mistake in the pass game. Second and 10 feels like if I, you know, am aggressive and it doesn't work out, now I put myself in third and 10. You can be a little bit more aggressive on second and six. The other thing you can do is you can run the ball again. And if you feel confident that 4 yards of pop is going to happen, I'll take third and two, trusting I can, you know, also field position. I may have 2 downs right there. But I just think when you talk about offensive football, positive offensive football on first and second down sets you up for really good third downs that are going to be more attainable. And usually you're moving the sticks. The other thing it gives you the opportunity to do is to move the chains on second down. Second and six, now I don't have to wait for third down to get a first down. I may be able to be aggressive And if the defense is really backing up, sometimes taking that underneath shallow route, that check down on second and six, that gets you the first down. So now you can get those first downs on second down. And then that puts a ton on the defense. Like sometimes playing that game of always having to pick up, okay, here we go again, third in this, third in that. And I got to depend on my third down conversion rate if I'm going to get first downs. Don't always rely on that. Man, winning football, you don't have to win it on third down. Get first downs on second down. And when you pick up 4 to 5 yards of pop on first down, it gives you that opportunity.
Fury's 30% on third down right now. They combine fourth down and kind of look at that number a little more, where BYU's been amazing. I believe 8 of 11 or 10 at this point. BYU's been awesome. Okay, rest of the year. There's 7 games left. We're only 42% of the way through the season. A lot of excitement, projections that are kind of fun, bowls that maybe BYU could be in. How are you feeling about BYU in the final 7 and what could happen for the Cougars?
You know, Dennis and I, we see each other every day, so we talk about this
all the
time.
I'm glad someone does, yeah.
I mean, look, once in a while I get Dennis away from his princess movies with his daughters, and we do get to spend some time in football. But the thing that we talk about, we always say, man, with how things are rolling, and you look at this schedule, before the season, everybody was shaking their head at the Arizona, Oklahoma State, UCF, and Utah, like that stretch right there. And you could even probably throw Kansas in there, of people saying like, man, that is a tough middle stretch of the season. I don't think those teams are as tough as people thought they were going to be at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
And that's not saying Arizona can't show up. I've watched Arizona a number of times this year. I mean, they can put it together once in a while. They've also had some games that you're scratching your head saying, man, I thought Arizona was going to be much better than this. So it's interesting. People still pick UCF at times. Like you go watch College Game Day. They still have a lot of respect for UCF. But UCF is not playing the way that everybody thought they were going to, or they're not having it shake down like that. So, you know, I think there's a great opportunity ahead for BYU if they show up when they need to show up on game day. Do not give those opportunities to those teams to be who everybody thought they were going to be before the season started. And I almost sounded like Dennis Green right there. We are who they thought they were.
But, and we let them off the hook.
And we let them off the hook. But that's the truth. Like, we really just have to be who we are right now, and don't let those teams be who people thought they could be. Like, go out, prove your point. I think it really gives BYU a great opportunity to really have things just continue in the way they are and have a special season. It's just, you know, the thing about college football, and this is all levels of football, you just don't know any game day, a few plays here or there. BYU was on the fortunate side against Kansas State. Interception return for a touchdown, fumble, boom, touchdown the next play. Punt return where we were all holding our breath like, holy crap, he's going to fumble this into the end zone. And it's returned for a touchdown, and you come out the second half. Like, don't let those other teams have those stretches against you. You have to find a way to be who you've been up to this point, continue that. And I think it was Austin Colley one time that says like something about a team's confidence. I think I caught him one time in one of those pregame things being like, I want all those teams' confidence to be low when they come into Provo or when they play BYU, because you want to just then stomp the rest out of them. And so for me, those teams, it's not shaken down for them like they thought, have BYU be the team that then stomps it out of them.
My daughter, Venna, yesterday, she said, oh, when a team that we're not rooting for in a game is losing, I almost feel bad. And I said, Venna, in sports, it's okay. It's okay yeah. that they it's don't okay. do well.
John.
Yeah, I watched the U of A Texas Tech game because yep. I wanted to see a week out. Like, mm-hmm. I'm going to stay up and watch this game. And yes, there were some exciting points, but there were some times that U of A shot themselves in the foot with turnovers. Yep. Yeah. You know, they have talent. If we can do the same thing where we, hey, have them do things that hurt themselves, right? And then we capitalize. BYU to this point in time has capitalized off of other teams' mistakes, and I hope that that continues.
John, I was just going to comment. You referenced Austin Colley 3 times. You've got to get better friends, man.
And Dennis.
Oh, my gosh. You know what is funny? We're on all these text threads together with different things. Man, you know what, though? There's a lot of great laughs with those dudes. Yeah, it's a ton of fun. Dennis and I, we play golf every Friday morning out here.
Yeah.
And a lot of good times with those guys, a lot of good memories. Somehow there's got to be a way to get all 3 of us on one of these shows together. I was kind of joking.
We can make that happen.
We'll make that happen.
Yeah, yeah, we can make that happen. That'll be awesome. John, we appreciate the time. Thanks, man.
Yeah, it was good talking, guys.
Great stuff.
Always good to talk with John.
Yeah. Boy, he knows his stuff.
He knows his stuff.
trains quarterbacks like nobody's business. Hey, tonight we invite you to join us for BYU football with Kalani Sitake, the coach, and Isaiah Banya is going to be the guest. He's awesome. He's a great interview. I wish everyone could have lunch with Isaiah Banya. That's tonight, 8:30 Eastern time on the BYU TV app.
Kalani's birthday is on Thursday, so they're going to celebrate it tonight on the show, which will be a lot of fun. Coming up, would you take BYU versus Oregon in the college football playoff? And which prestigious non-conference men's hoops tournament are the Cougars reportedly going to in 2026? This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Big noon kickoff is coming to Provo for Saturday's kick against Arizona. This is a huge deal.
I'm really excited about this game, and we'll just see what happens when we get to the game.
It'll be sunny and 75.
It's going to be awesome. Can't wait.
Hey, follow BYU Sports Nation on social media for content throughout the day. Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, the regular players. We're all over the place.
He's Dave McCann, who probably wore this actual shirt back in 1981. I am Jerem Jordan. In Studio B, let's get to today's headlines.
Number 14, BYU hosts Arizona on Saturday. Yesterday, head coach Kalani Sitake addressed the media about the challenge that lies ahead for the Cougars this week against the Wildcats with all the hype bubbling around Saturday's game.
Looking forward to the matchup. Looking forward to having him here at home. And there's a lot of exciting things going on here this week. And the goal for our team is to stay focused and to stay humble, keep working hard. I know there's a lot of people talking about us, but I think the key for our team is just keep working, put your nose down to the ground and go to work.
Pre-game coverage starts at 8 a.m. early on the Fox Network and then here on BYU TV starting at 2 Eastern time.
Okay, week 6 bowl projections for BYU. Are you ready for that? This is awesome. ESPN's Kyle Bonagura. College football quarterfinal in the Fiesta Bowl versus Oregon. Let's go! ESPN's Mark Schlabaugh. Liberty Bowl versus Kentucky. CBS Sports, Pop-Tarts Bowl versus Notre Dame. You tried a Pop-Tart. I didn't see it.
Yeah,
did you like
I
it?
Did. It was good. I'm sorry. I didn't go out and buy a bunch, but it was fun.
24/7 Sports, College Football Playoff Fiesta Bowl versus number 5 Georgia. Ha ha ha. Brett McMurphy, Alamo Bowl versus USC. No one sang Independence Bowl, which is great.
I love the Notre Dame and the USC styles make fights, and I love that matchup. Yeah. You know, everyone wants to be in the biggest of them all, but
those are all awesome.
How about that?
Those are all great.
Monday Night Football last night, Andy Reid's Kansas City Chiefs, they just continue to win. Hey, they're 5-0 too.
Oh.
Andy Reid's 5-0, Kalani's 5-0. Yeah. Beat the Saints 26-13, Taysom didn't play, still banged up. Mm-hmm. Jamal Williams, couple of carries for 9 yards for the Saints. Kingsley Suamataia was in for just a few snaps in the Chiefs win. So, 2 5-0s.
Life's good for Jason Shepard right now.
Yeah.
Life's always good for Shep.
Because the Cardinals really let him in.
Yeah. CBS Sports, John Rothstein. Of course, a Cubs guy would say that. John Rothstein reports men's basketball will be in the 2026 Maui Invitational, the most prestigious non-conference tournament out there so far. Creating another one.
And
this
the
year,
best place.
Good. And right? Arizona, Maryland, Notre Dame, Providence, Ole Miss, VCU. 8 teams still TBD. You guys last played in Maui. Just a couple of years ago in 2019.
Where's this program going to go from today until 2026?
Hopefully to the moon, dog.
Man, it's going to be crazy. BYU women's volleyball dropped 3 spots. Still in the top 25.
Yep.
23 in the ABCVA poll. A couple of losses last week at Arizona in 5 sets. And then 15th ranked Arizona State took them out. Looking to bounce back this week against a couple of top 25ers at home. TCU is number 17. Baylor is number 18.
Thursday's match is on FS1. Saturday, we'll have the ESPN Plus broadcast. 2 ranked teams. Come
Let's
on.
Go.
Probably got a split to at least maintain top 25. And in Big 12 match play, men's golf leads their pool after winning both matches against 11-seeded Houston and 13-seeded West Virginia in the opening rounds. BYU plays 3-seed Utah this morning in Houston.
In golf, is it a rivalry? Of course it
is. Yes, absolutely.
It's a gentleman's rivalry.
I would hope there's trash talk in golf.
A whisper and quiet claps. But
yeah, you're going to miss this one.
It's still a rival.
Coming up, cornerback Mark Collins on BYU's defensive prowess through 5 games and his surprising answer to where the defense can improve. This is a 5-0 BYU Sports Nation.
Eyes are on me, and I just want to make plays.
Most underappreciated player right now.
I think Mark Collins, right? He is a phenomenal corner, right? And has made some big plays and some big moves.
Throws, intercepted! Mark Collins!
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation on this Tuesday in October. I'm Jerem Jordan alongside Dave McCann. BYU defensive back Mark Collins has played a big role in BYU's 5-0 start to the year, highlighted by that red zone interception, tapping the toes against SMU. Spencer Linton spoke with Collins yesterday about that pick, the matchup with Arizona, and BYU's team sense of style.
Mark, I want you to know that last week when we were discussing some alternative subjects during the bye week, we were talking about the best catch of the season, and I wasn't about to give it to a wide receiver. I wanted to give it to somebody on defense, and I wanted to give it to you for your interception against SMU. How do you feel about being dubbed as having the best catch through five games?
Honestly, it's great. I mean, I should have a couple more. That's the only thing I think about, just to make that decision a little harder, you know. But it's great. I still think about it. I still always see the clip and whatnot. I'm not going to act like I don't. But, you know, that was a fun time. Great win as well.
The toe tap and holding the ball up was just magic. It was super swaggy for sure.
Appreciate
and like
it.
You said, maybe a few more to come. As you turn the page to Arizona, you may have noticed there's a lot of national attention and hype surrounding BYU football. So as an individual playing for a BYU defense that's competing at such a high level, how are you going about handling the added national attention?
Honestly, I think it's as a team, and for me personally, I think it's just more so about us. Obviously, we love it. Like, I don't want to say we look for the attention, but we love it. You know, I think anybody would. But I think it's more so about just going 6-0 this week. And we just happen to have a great opponent coming in here, and we just happen to have the national attention. So it's a big deal, but I think it's just more so about us this week.
You're trying to make that sixth statement and do so against, as you mentioned, a good Arizona team, and you have 2 weeks to prepare for them. So given the added preparation, what is the thing that has your attention the most with Arizona football?
I think as an offense, you know, they're a great offense. I think what has most of my attention is just extended plays right now. 11 getting out the pocket. If we can keep him contained and, you know, be great on the back end as we've been most of the year, I think we'll have a pretty good chance. We'll have him right where we want him. Obviously, that's easier said than done, but, you know, this week in practice, we'll just take those steps to doing exactly that.
Certainly, Noah Fifita at quarterback can extend plays. And I know that Tetero McMillan, one of the best receivers in the country, certainly has your attention. Yeah. I know you don't want to give away the whole game plan, but generally speaking, how do you prepare to face a vaunted passing attack like that with specifically a big, tall, physical receiver?
I think it's just, like I said, I think it's just more about us. We got to lock in our technique, our coverages, the things we want them to do. We got to make them do what we want them to do. And that we just do that by good technique, playing sound, playing discipline. On the back end, you know, we have our plan for them, but it's just more about us this week, you know. Everything's obvious. You know, we have a great opponent coming in here. We have a big, tall receiver who can catch the ball. We have a quarterback who can extend plays. I think that's no secret. So we're going to take that as an advantage. Everybody knows it. So, you know, we're going to do what we can to stop it.
What's the collective message from your head coach, Kalani Sitake, and your defensive coordinator, Jay Hill, this week? Again, with the added national attention, BYU 5-0, number 14 in the polls. What are they saying to you about getting right mentally?
It's just about us. Like you said, we're getting a lot of national attention right now. Like you said, 14. And we all hear it. We all see it. The hard part is, you know, just keeping it about what's in the room and what's on the field. And I think we've been doing a great job of that all year. You know, win by win, just staying focused. And I think that's not going to change this week at all. And I think that they're going to continue to preach that. We'll continue to follow it.
Maybe it is the discipline that you as a collective unit are showing. Maybe it's the physicality. Maybe it's the combination of both as the things that you are doing best. But if I were to straight up ask you, what does BYU's defense do best right now? How would you answer that question?
I would say we find a way. For example, SMU, 18 was score 18-15, I think. Baylor came down to the last drive, Crew Wakely. Kansas State, like, we just find a way. I think, to get the result we need. Whether it's ugly, whether it's pretty, we just find a way. You know, and I think that's just what we hang our hat on. As a defense, we just find a way to get things done. However that may happen, we just got to do it.
Defensive back Mark Collins on BYU Sports Nation. How would you sum up your experience as a BYU football player thus far?
It's been great. You know, coming from, and I love Weber State, but, you know, coming from Weber, it's not the same. Obviously, it's a smaller school, but, and they've definitely prepared me for this moment or these moments to come. But BYU, I wouldn't change anything about it. Yeah, not a single thing. I love it. You know, the fan, down to the fans, the Rock. I know they'll be out there Saturday cheering the song. But it's everything I dreamed of. You know, as a young kid coming to play at a school like this is great. It's great.
If you were to be nitpicky about BYU's football team, anything surrounding BYU football right now, of areas that you want to shore up or fix or just adjust, what would that be?
I would say we got to all get together as a team, and we got to pick out different outfits. You know, our outfits as a team is not up to par, but, you know, most of the time we're in sweats and whatnot, but when we go out and want to, you know, have a nice lunch or something, we got to pick up our outfits a little bit. And I could do a better job of, you know, assisting in that for sure. Other than that, we ready to go.
You got to raise the wardrobe game?
Yeah, we got to raise the wardrobe game, but it takes time, though. It takes time.
Oh, that is fantastic. That went to an area I was not expecting it to go.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say right now when you know, you're sitting high right now. We're a great football team. But yeah, we got to get our outfits together for sure.
What kind of an atmosphere do you expect at Lavelle Edwards Stadium when you kick off at 2 p.m. on Saturday afternoon?
I expect not to hear myself, honestly, not to hear myself think, not to hear my teammate next to me, you know, and people might see that as a disadvantage, but it's the biggest advantage we can have. So I hope the Rock, and I know they will, but I hope the Rock is out there ready to go, have it loud, you know. Hopefully we get a lot of delayed games off, you know, false starts and all that. That's kind of what I expect from this game.
Let's go. Get them ready. Next level. Yeah. Mark, it's a pleasure to talk to you, and can't wait to watch you play against Arizona on Saturday. Yeah. Best of luck in preparation this week, and we'll get those guys going in the wardrobe category. I'll do my part.
Appreciate you. Appreciate you, Spencer. Appreciate you talking to me. Appreciate you having me.
Hey, when it's going well, you're focused on the close. Let's go. Coming up, the top 5-0 starts in BYU history. Where does 2024 land? This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Time for Top 5 Tuesday, the best 5-0 starts in Cougar football history.
Number 5, let's go to the COVID season 2020, because it was just so weird. BYU became ESPN's Saturday night date every week. They dominated. They opened the season Labor Day night. Monday night football was BYU football. They routed Navy. Went on to be outstanding, 11-1, 11th in the AP poll. Zach went to number 2 in the draft. 2020, number 5.
Number 4 is 1979, first 5-0 start in program history. Beat number 14, Texas A&M. Going for 2 right here. Climbed to number 13 in the AP poll. Ended 11-1, number 13. This looks like it's from 1794.
I remember that A&M game. We were banging pans on our front porch.
That's awesome.
Number 3, you got to go to 1984, the national championship
season. Oh, number
season.
3?
Undefeated. They open up with Pitt. The Panthers will rank number 3. Blaine Fowler on the completion there. 20-14 win at Pitt. The rest is history. 5-0, and then they won all their games.
Yes, they did.
Number 1.
How is it not number 1? Because they're 2 better. 2024 is number 2. We're giving quality wins, right? Pitt ended up not being good. They were number 3 at the time. That was awesome. But what BYU's done this year so far, with 2 wins over ranked teams right now in this poll, 3 P5 wins, so far so good. BYU number 14 in the AP poll.
Number 1, we're going 2021. The year they beat all they swept the Pac-12, beat Utah at home, started in Vegas. Fantastic year. Tyler Allgeier, bunch of NFL guys on this team. Jumped to number 10 in the AP poll, finished 10-3. ranked number 19. That is the best 5-0 start, 2021.
Our question of the day, what's the most sustainable thing about BYU football right now? Our lead voice of the day, presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated. BYU Fortre, explosive plays. BYU's gotten explosive plays in every game this season. It's been awesome. Today's Rise and Shout-Out, presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics. How about BYU number one in best financial health schools? Highly recommended by students and alums. Best college library? Pretty awesome. Sorry, no time for Dennis. That'll do it for us. For Dave, I'm Jeremy. Shout out to Colby Pearson. Go Cougs.
See ya.